In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Rolling Stones have a controversial title to a song. It's called Sympathy for the Devil. And I am going to speak now, and this sermon may be entitled Sympathy for the Jews. You see, had we been there, had Christ arisen, and we were in this time, when I say arisen, I don't mean from the dead. I mean when he became someone for whom we had awareness. Would we have easily given up all of our traditions? Would we have changed the direction of our lives? You know, I was with Pope Shenouda in the monastery one time. This is just before my ordination. And I was speaking to him, asking him things that an American would ask. For example, this is 32 years ago and some change, 33 years ago. I asked him about the date on which we celebrate Christmas. Might it be more comfortable for many of the young people, especially, who are in America or in foreign lands, to move the date to the 25th of December, right? And he looked at me and he said, yes, there's some benefit for that perhaps, but he said, I could never do that. You know, there are some people in Egypt, and the only thing that they know that separates us from the Catholics is the date upon which we celebrate Christmas. Now, what is the meaning of me telling you this story? It's that the average person doesn't know very much about his own faith. He doesn't know very much at all about his own theology. And sometimes there is something upon which, it's like the linchpin on a wagon. I mean, if you pull this out, then the horses move on and the cart stays behind. The man is propelled forward because someone has told him at some point something and he has believed it. And then you take that away from them, and then all of a sudden they are in a dither. Okay, 30 some years later, Amba Serapion has granted permission to some churches to celebrate Christmas on the 25th. Huh? Now, this hasn't happened in Egypt, at least to my knowledge. I should always counter things by saying something like that. You see... The Jews didn't know a whole lot more about their own theology than Christians who have the title Orthodox know about theirs. Most people are woefully ignorant. One time I said at St. George, one of the reasons I'm no longer there, I said, suppose at the door I meet you and I say, unless you can say the Kanun al-Imam, unless you can say the Holy Creed, you can't come inside the church. It's because the Egyptians themselves don't even know that. They don't even know that. Many. They pretend they know. They mouth words. I was just in a home 2 weeks ago where this is the case. The woman's complaining about her kids not praying. I said, do you pray with your kids? I said, then she says, well, she's got reason after reason why she can't pray with her kids. I said, okay, I'm going to take another approach. Do you pray? I pray. I say, okay, say some prayers for me. She's 43 years old. 43 years old. And she's stumbling over Kodus, 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 Rabba Saba, Oda, Samawal, Ar. You understand? Nuazimak, Yom, El Nur, El Hakiki. She can't do it. She can say the first line, and then she stumbles. This is fake Christianity. So do you imagine that the Jews weren't fake Jews? Do you imagine that the Jews were all Pharisaical, that they'd all studied? Remember the first time when Jesus Christ began to expound on the prophet of Isaiah, the readings that were in the temple that day, they said, how is it that this man can do that, seeing that he knoweth not letters? It means he'd not been trained in Hebrew. He was an Aramaic-speaking person. And they were astounded this carpenter's son could do that. How did that happen? Who taught him? Who was the one? Jews were just as ignorant as the people today walking around. I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hindu, I'm a this, I'm a that. They just know what they are because from the very time they could understand the word, they were told that's what they were. But if they had to give an account of why they were and who to whom they belonged, they couldn't do it. So sympathy for the Jews. He said to the people, do not labor for the food. Do not labor for the food. Do you know that every time, I was going to mention this to you guys earlier, the deacons I'm talking to now who before the service were here and we were putting the church together before we could start to pray. So for you guys, I'm saying this to you now. You should have heard it first. Why is it that the Jews, when they bring up something, they're bringing up the miracle having to do with food? When they say, give us a sign, right? Then the next reference is, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, you know. Not, you walked on water. You restored sight to the blind. You made the maimed to behold. Okay, going backwards. You were seen as the one who was holding up the bronze snake. So when the vipers had bitten the Israelites, whoever looked to the bronze snake, the cross, the deliverer at this time, Moses, but the type of Jesus Christ who would perfect all things, they didn't mention any other miracle. It was the miracle of food. You know, even in our church, people know that if you get here in time to have heard the gospel, you get food. You can come to the table and eat. You don't show up on time, no food. The priest knows who comes. It's a small church. It's not one of these things where you can like sneak in. But I know, I'm aware. And I'm not going to give somebody. Last week, a person came up to me and said, I'm late, I had car trouble. I excused him without further contemplation. It was just, okay. But do you know that people are so willing to give up a portion of their lives, but that portion is something that they want to decide? This is the portion. I remember Rabbona Beshoy Gobriel of blessed memory, someone was complaining about they had to give a tithe of 10%. And he said, no. That was for the Jews. We're Christians. We can give a lot more than 10%. But people will negotiate that 10% right down to the last maleem. I had somebody talk to me the other day and saying, now, is that 10% after tax income? You know, what exactly does that 10% consist of? I want, you know, I'm shaving that right on down to the last penny. This is a characteristic of all people. A lot of times we just castigate the Jews and say, oh, the Jews, like it's black and it's white. We, of course, being white. And they, the dirty Jews, the Jews were the repository of all of God's words, of all of his deeds up until the time of the incarnation. The Jews weren't bad at all. Now, I consider myself, or would have considered myself in the time of the Jews, to have been a really good Pharisee. I would have been a lawyer. I would have been the kind of person who obeyed the law and made sure that everybody around me, insofar as I was capable, also obeyed the law. So now once I have evidence, I'm the person that needs to be castigated. I'm the person who needs to be blamed. I'm the person that you can truthfully, with your whole heart, condemn. But the Jews were just a group of people, and a portion of them were Pharisees. Not every Jew walking around was a Pharisee. No, this guy's a shop. He's a shop maker, a keeper. This guy's a fisherman. This guy's this. They're just people, just like you. So the Lord said to them, guess what? The work that you need to do is to believe on me. Now, I want you to understand that in the case that he is using the word believe, he means it as a verb. It's not a noun. Your belief. What is your belief? What does your belief consist of? No, he's actually saying, you do the works of God, and that is emblematic of your belief. I don't need words. Remember the line from St. Francis? Not Pope Francis. St. Francis. He says, pray always. And if you must, use words. But it means your life is a prayer. Your actions are a prayer. The Lord said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. What does this mean? The vine dresser is the one who will take away unproductive stems from any vine so that the vitality of the vine goes to producing fruit. You know, the Lord had 12 disciples, but there was always the big three. Everything that happened that was of great significance was Peter, James, and John. Well, what were the rest? To use a Jewish expression, right? Chopped liver? No. But there were three. There were three that distinguished themselves, like vessels. You know, you put something in a vessel, if the vessel itself does not have full integrity, you lose the contents of what was put inside. So a person must work diligently to make sure that they maintain their integrity. You know, the Jews were not interested in Jesus Christ being the bread. They wanted the bread to be the bread. And this belly of ours, we make a great deal. We were just talking about this again before, or as the church was being prepared for service today, about the length of our fasting being 55 days instead of 40 like everybody else. Oh, by the way, if any of you want to be a Roman Catholic because you don't like fasting, boy, is it so easy to be Roman Catholic. I want to tell you. First of all, Sam, if you're above the age of 59 in the Roman Church, you don't have to fast at all. You're exempt from fasting. 59. You know, I've wasted the last 15 years. I could have been cruising. I could have apple pie anytime I felt like it. I would have died at 60 because of being obese, but that's the one thing they don't tell you. If you look at their patriarch, too, it's kind of emblematic that he's not a big advocate or proponent personally of fasting. I know that some people are going to hate me for saying something like that, but it's hard for me to think about one church as being equal to another church when you find that in spiritual things the rigor is not present. It's just not present. It's not present in the priesthood. It's not present in the episcopacy. It's not present anywhere, top to bottom. It just is. And people are so proud, and they go to places, and they point at things and say, look at this, and look what we've done, and look at the history, and look. These are just people. I don't blame them for that any more than I blame the Jews for being proud. Think about it. You're amongst all of these pagans, and you are the people that are claiming that there is one God. And by the way, you are right. And everybody else is wrong. You are right. And everyone else is in error. And to not be proud of that? Now, how am I going to give that up? What exactly is going to be my motivation for giving that up? So, do I want to see a sign? Yeah, but the Jews betrayed themselves, or these people betrayed themselves, and saying, hey, food first. Oh, by the way, if you've read The Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky, there is a chapter in there called The Grand Inquisitor. Dostoevsky was a contemporary of Saint Tikhon. I know you don't know these names, T-I-K-H-O-N. But in this book, Jesus Christ comes back and meets the patriarch. And the patriarch says, what are you doing here? and then, I'm not going to tell you the story, but the essence of it is the people want bread. The people want bread. They don't want sound teaching. If I go into a house and there is somebody in that house that is wayward, somebody in that house that is going bad, some close relative to someone, excuse piled upon excuse piled upon excuse is made for this person, which would not be made for somebody else if we were talking about another home and another family in another part of the... It's because that instinct of herd gathering causes us to look out for the individual herd in which we find ourselves a constituent part. It's just human nature, and human nature is fallen, and it's low. Now, the Lord said to them, look, I understand that you don't believe. You have seen, yet you do not believe. Now, how about us? We believe, but we haven't seen. Ah, but we have the comfort of the words that were spoken to St. Thomas, right? Blessed art thou, Thomas. Okay? You believed because you have touched, but blessed are those who have not seen. So we get in balance what they do not. They saw and did not believe. They saw and they did not believe. Now, of course, there's a time before this, during the multiplication of the loaves and the bread, where they wanted to make him a king. This is because of the nature of our emotion. We get aroused, but just like a teapot that you put on the stove and it starts to whistle because steam is building on the inside of the pot. As soon as the fire goes down, the temperature of the water goes down. And then there's nothing left. So he built the fire with the miracle. They responded to the miracle, but the miracle didn't last because they didn't spiritualize the miracle. They made it an event and not a principle. And sometimes we have precious little in our lives that we can look to and say, yes, that's the reason for my being. That's the reason for my belief. That's the reason for my hope. And that's what I share when I come to church in my thanksgiving. So we're told no one can come to the Father, to me, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, except the Father draw him. And it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. These are piercing words. They shall all be taught by God. If you are listening now, if you are really listening, then you will begin to understand just how great it is, my exposition, I'm speaking about Jesus, about the things that I've told you. And it's important that each one of us, knowing how much, could we pass the theological exam if somebody asked us? If somebody said, say the normal prayers of the church without error, could you do it? Just that. I once was sitting when my children were small and we were in an office and they were getting orthodontia treatments from Sausan Boutros. Many of you know Sausan Boutros. So there was this little girl that was in there. She was maybe 12. And in the dentist's office, they're playing music, popular music. And this little girl knew the lyrics to every single song that came on. Every single song. And, you know, with Sals and I had one kid go in, and the other kid's sitting there, and then the other kid goes in. So I'm in there for 2 hours. I don't know who this little girl was waiting for. But over the course of at least an hour, every song that came on, she knew every single lyric. How many songs do you know? How many songs do you know? Then ask yourself, how many psalms do you know? How many psalms do you know? Well, that's the case of the Jews. When the Lord was saying something as a quotation from their history, from many of the people, they'd heard it before, but it was something in the forefront of their minds. Again, that's why I'm saying sympathy for the Jews. If you found somebody who was a Pharisee, and if you found somebody who claimed that he was not just a man of the law, but a doer of the law himself, then his rejection of Christ was a fundamental error that could have been just what was comfortable for him alone and had nothing whatsoever to do with principle. That person you condemn. That person you condemn. But the rest of them, they're just people. They're just like us. And we are woefully ignorant. And so were they. And now this new person comes and tells them, the things in which you trusted, even small as they are, the things in which you trusted, they're going to change. They're going to change for the better. But in order for you to understand that they're going to change for the better, you have to believe in me. And of course, the idea was that this is a hard thing. This is a hard thing. And as you go further, this is the 6th chapter of the book of John that we're reading. When the Lord says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Everybody went away. Nobody could hear this. And he went to his own disciples. And there's this very poignant line. It says, will you also go away? Will you also go? Will you deacons also go away? Will you go away? When it gets hard, will you go away? No? I look at the church today, it's not very well assembled, and I say, where did all the people go away to? I hate to end a sentence with a preposition because it's bad English, but where'd they all go? You know? It's just a question to ask yourself. Do you know where the people went? They're not here. And it's the last Sunday before we begin our Lenten journey. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Don't think of the Jews, oh, bad Jews, bad Jews, bad Jews. Great Christians, great Christians, great Christians. No. Think people. some good, some bad, some faithful, some not, some spiritual, some material, some deep, some superficial, some acquisitive, some who don't care about materialism, some people who are vain and proud, and other people who are humble. Think about that. You know, a lot of times old people, they get humble. It's because when they look in the mirror, they've got nothing that they see that's good. I know because it happened to me. We have to have sympathy one for another, groups for another. We can't always think in terms, when we look at other groups, that they're bad and we're good. It's the wrong thing to think of. Think of them as textured, some good, some bad, just like us sitting here today in the Lord's house. May we all become good if we're not. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.